The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This morning we turn our attention to the book of the prophet Amos, chapter 5, beginning with the 18th verse as follows. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord! For what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or as though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark, with no brightness in it? I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. But let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Dear friends in Christ, when it comes to events that lie in the future, we don't know what to expect. The U.S. election's a pretty good example. That's actually 3 days in the past, and we still don't know what to expect as far as an outcome. What about the economy? Where will the economy go from here? What about the COVID pandemic? Is that tending to subside now, or is it going to be even worse than it's already been? We don't really know. We don't really know what to expect on any of those important topics. What's surprising is that we do know exactly what to expect from a future event that's far more important than any of those I just mentioned, Judgment Day. This is an event that is definitely coming. It's an event that is going to affect the lives not of millions or billions, but of every person who's ever lived for all eternity. During this end time season of the church year that we're in right now, we're thinking about what God's word tells us about the coming great day of the Lord. And the prophet Amos has something to say to us about that. Our theme for this morning is, we know what to expect from Judgment Day. The first fact about Judgment Day, and the one that you'd think might be the most obvious, is the one that's most roundly rejected in our day. Those who refuse to repent of their sins can expect darkness, not light. It's hard to believe, but the sinful people of the northern kingdom of Israel were actually expecting good things to happen when the visitation of the Lord arrived, which the prophet Amos had warned them was coming. They thought it was going to be a good day. God had been so merciful to them so many times. He'd forgiven them so often and rescued them. They felt sure this would be another day of light and forgiveness. Yes, they were guilty of many sins, but so what? Why repent? Surely God would smile on them. Surely God would accept them the way they were. So they continued to rob the poor, to commit adultery with their neighbor's wives, and to bow themselves to the idol, false gods of the Canaanites. They were expecting light, but in fact, darkness was about to overtake them. God sent the Assyrian armies to crush them, to kidnap them, and to carry them away and enslave them in foreign countries. They would feel, Amos said, like a man who had escaped the clutches of a man-eating lion, only to run into and be mauled by a vicious bear, and then, hurt and bleeding, to arrive home at his house, lean his hand against the wall, and be bitten by a poisonous snake. Amos said, "Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark, with no brightness in it?" Sadly, the same cascade of disasters is awaiting the vast multitude of people in our day. People who remain secure in their sins with no need to repent. It doesn't matter what you believe, they say. Live life on your terms. If it feels good, do it. Surely God will accept everyone in the end. Is that so? Is that really the truth? We were reminded by Professor Pfeiffer yesterday that Jesus said just the opposite. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Not many. Only a few will be saved. As the five foolish virgins in the parable discovered that without oil in their lamps, without faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they would find the door of heaven shut before them and be cast into outer darkness. Now, if I stopped right there, this chapel talk would be about as gloomy and hopeless as the book of Amos sometimes seems to be. But appearances can be deceiving. Even in Amos, even in that funeral dirge of a Bible book, there are rays of hope for the remnant who would repent and serve the Lord. Likewise, even in this incredibly corrupt and wicked world in which you and I live, there is still a ray of hope, a shaft of light, one shining way God has given us to escape the judgment that is surely coming and to reach the gates of heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. We know what to expect from Judgment Day. Those who trust in the righteousness of Christ can expect light and salvation. Amos says, "Let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream." You have to know something about the geography of Israel. Many of the rivers in Israel are unreliable wadis. Most of the year, they're bone dry, but during the rainy season, they gush with water. But this passage describes that rare kind of stream that is unfailing, water from a stream that is reliable year in and year out. We sinners are expecting Judgment Day, so we need a reliable source of grace. When that day, that momentous day of darkness and fear, finally arrives, and it could be at any moment, we need a source of righteousness that won't dry up, that'll allow us to stand accepted and justified in the sight of the mighty judge. Christ is that source. Jesus told the Samaritan woman, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up unto everlasting life." Yes, for most people, Judgment Day will be a day of terrifying darkness. But I'd remind you of another day of darkness. In Matthew 27, we read, "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" You know the day I'm talking about, Good Friday. Jesus endured the deep darkness of Good Friday. He endured being forsaken by his heavenly Father. He endured all the other agonies of the cross, and he did it all for you. He stepped into your shoes. He took upon himself all the sins you've committed in your life and made atonement for them completely on the cross. Why did he do that? Really, he did it for one reason. He did it so that when the inevitable day of God's judgment arrives, you can look forward to salvation, not condemnation, to light, not darkness. That's why John said of Jesus, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." What a joy and a relief to have Jesus as our Savior, the one who has rescued us, who has shined into our lives the gospel of salvation. He's the one whose righteousness rolls into our lives like a mighty stream by the power of the Holy Spirit. His grace and his mercy run down to us like a rushing torrent every day. Because of him, we know what to expect from Judgment Day. On that awesome day when the hearts of billions are failing them from fear, we can have confidence. We expect to see not the face of a stern judge, but the face of our loving good shepherd. We expect to hear not the verdict of a harsh and condemning and a vengeful God, not rejection and condemnation, but rather the gentle voice of our blessed Redeemer saying to us, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." We pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we confess our sin. We hunger and thirst for righteousness. Let your justification run down like water in our lives, and your righteousness like a mighty stream. Amen. We'll conclude this morning with stanzas 1 and 4 of hymn 604.